I love this technology. It's so great. Okay. So I'm here on behalf of a coalition called Women Lead for Health. We were founded in 2006, and we've what we really pride ourselves in is our ability to insert a gender lens into local and state policy debates around healthcare reform. We're convened by three organizations: Health Access of California, which is a consumer advocacy group based in they're based in Oakland, but they have organizers around the state; the Women's Community Clinic, which is based in San Francisco and is a free clinic for un- and underinsured women, as well as my organization, Access Women's Health Rights Coalition. And we were also originally conceived by the UCSF National Center of Excellence in Women's Health, so there are lots of connections here. So our mission, Women Lead, and let me also explain that LEAD serves as an acronym for Leadership, Education, Advocacy, and Development. So our mission is we're a collaboration of diverse health and women's organizations working to move California toward universal access to health care by educating and involving women and women's organizations in state and local health care reform issues. So why women? Why focus on women when lots of us need healthcare, lots of our communities, lots of our ethnic groups? Why women? Well, everyone's health is important for women's health. We are doing 75 to 90% of all family healthcare decisions. Those are made by women. In California, 75% of the 2.9 million family caregivers in the state are women. Caregiving responsibilities leave us more at risk for disruptions in employment and thus loss of health insurance. We have higher rates of chronic diseases, and we are less likely to be employed in retail, or more likely, I'm sorry, to be employed in retail and service industries, which are less likely to offer health benefits for their employees. We make 76 cents to every dollar earned by men and are therefore less able to afford co-pays and deductibles required of some employer-sponsored health insurance plans. Our underinsured women are more likely to forgo or postpone care, filling of prescriptions, and delay important preventative screenings. And 80% of our underinsured women, and this is nationwide, are actually in working families. So we know that as women, we are really the gatekeepers to the healthcare system for our families, and that's why in California, we decided to focus on the gender lens. So here are our goals. There are four of them, and I'll give you a minute to read them. And as you're reading them, this last one is probably the most important one for my purposes today. So to support public policy that improves healthcare access and moves us toward universal healthcare. And the key words in that final goal are moves us toward. What's interesting about our coalition is that we bring together lots of different women's health organizations, but there are different perspectives within those organizations on how to get to universal healthcare. We have lots of folks who are really in favor of a single payer system, other folks who ultimately want universal healthcare but are very comfortable with transitional or incremental approaches to establishing that. And so we don't have or haven't yet taken any stance on any one piece of legislation, either at the local, state, or national levels. Instead, what we offer is this gender analysis on different healthcare reform proposals. And so that's what we think is our strength in doing this work together. Obviously, at some point, we will probably need to take a position. We haven't been forced to do so yet, but we can tell you which is better between the Obama and McCain plans. So that's where we have some value here. And I'll talk to folks after about this is a long list of our members. I don't expect you to be able to read it, but why I put it here is we do have over 27 member organizations, and so this kind of gives you a sense of all the different groups. Breast cancer groups, a lot of groups representing women with disabilities, groups representing Latino women throughout our state, Planned Parenthood affiliates, so reproductive health groups. So it's a pretty broad-based group, and I'll talk about some of the limitations of that later. We have over 100 members on our listserv, and again, we're comprised of community organizations, individual women, provider groups from throughout the state across the lifespan, so also many younger and older women's groups, from a range of racial, ethnic, and economic backgrounds, as well as diverse sexual identities. These women have helped shape our mission, vision, and values, and our goals, and our activities. And the work of Women Lead is fueled by a shared belief in women and girls, as the dynamic promoters of social change and in the quote-unquote kitchen table wisdom that we bring to healthcare issues. So over the last 2 years, as I said, we were formed in 2006, the work of Women Lead has really demonstrated that the challenges faced by underserved communities accessing and utilizing healthcare also equip them actually to find solutions and work for appropriate public action. So we're taking a different approach. A lot of our work is really focused on advocacy. And indeed, here's our first big event. So in 2006, we had a conversation happening in San Francisco in the Bay Area on a universal healthcare plan for the city. And so we organized our first Leadership Education and Advocacy Day. The D used to stand for day, now it stands for development. We brought together more than 50 women at San Francisco City Hall, representing 20 organizations. They represented every neighborhood in our city. Participants were diverse in age, race, ethnicity, sexual orientation, ability, language, and experience. All of the women were able to, through a pre-training, learn about citywide universal coverage proposals and then participated with members of their board of supervisors. Simultaneous translation was provided for all the women in Spanish and in American Sign Language. These visits were actually credited with securing two remaining votes needed for a veto-proof majority for two companion ordinances that were actually signed into law in August of 2006 that created Healthy San Francisco, which is now our citywide universal coverage, which is covering the majority of the uninsured in San Francisco. Participants, we see this really as a model of active civic engagement. So participants were inspired by the diversity of women and the opportunity for engagement that it provided for all of the attendees. For a lot of them, this was the first time actually speaking directly with a local legislator, so that was incredibly empowering for folks. And out of this effort, we actually authored a position paper on universal health care as a woman and women's health rights issue, which was translated into Spanish. And I'll show you where to find all of these resources at the end. In 2007, we did a series of community convenings, and you'll see kind of all of this is building up. We knew that healthcare reform and that a healthcare reform debate was going to be happening on the state level, and so we really started kind of building up and amping up our efforts, getting women to engage locally, and then hopefully getting them up to Sacramento. So we did community convenings to educate and engage underserved women throughout the state who had not yet been involved in the healthcare reform debate, particularly women of color, younger women, and women with disabilities, as well as some immigrant women. We reached more than 200 women participating in convenings held in San Francisco, Monterrey, Gonzales, Poplar, Stockton, Salinas, San Diego, Los Angeles, Pacoima, and Hayward. Participants were provided with a framework to evaluate policy proposals in terms of their potential to move California towards universal health care. We examined how the health care reform proposals could be evaluated through a woman's health framework or a woman's lens, and we explored opportunities to get involved with health care reform efforts. What we found when we did our first event in San Francisco, which is kind of what informed the convenings, was that women obviously had a vested interest in this issue but didn't know a lot about it. There's a lot of jargon. There's all kinds of language floating around that folks don't understand. What are the different markets that they're involved with? And so what we really tried to do is provide women a space to both educate themselves about these issues, but then also have their own vocabulary to talk to their legislators about it in a way that they felt informed and empowered to do that. From 2007, from the convenings, they really culminated in a summit. And then our 2007 Women Lead for Health event, which we held in San Francisco. So the summit was kind of the culmination of the 2006 activities and brought together over 100 community members, healthcare providers, and activists for a day of learning and dialogue on universal healthcare as a women's issue. So we had speakers from the nascent San Francisco, Healthy San Francisco program, from the UCSF Department of Geriatrics, National Women's Law Center, who was doing a lot of work on the national health healthcare reform proposals, the California Women's Agenda, and the office of our state senator, Sheila Kuehl, who is really championing our universal healthcare bill here in California. The summit was important for a couple of reasons. Again, it continued to draw attention to the issue of universal healthcare as a women and girls issue, but more importantly, probably for us, it generated significant exposure in print, radio, and TV. We actually got a really great editorial published in the San Francisco Chronicle, and so we were starting to now get the dialogue to come from within our communities to really getting the public to acknowledge via the media that this was an important issue and that legislators should really examine what these proposals would mean for the health care of women and girls, either in the city or at the statewide level. In our Sacramento, so our state capital, Women Lead for Health Day in this year, so we went from doing 50 women in San Francisco to 200 women in Sacramento from around the state. The chair of our Women's Caucus was a keynote speaker at the event, and attendees really learned at that point about now the statewide healthcare reform proposals. So from 2006 to 2007, the conversation around healthcare reform had really moved to the state level, and we had two competing proposals, the universal healthcare proposal and many different iterations of what was more of an incremental approach to universal healthcare reform. And again, not taking any, not endorsing any one proposal, but really saying, if you're looking at this proposal through a woman's lens, universal healthcare, what does it do? Did a lot more for us. If you're looking at the incremental proposal, what does it do for women? Did a little bit less for us, but was probably more politically viable. And so we were able to go into legislators' offices and offer that education around those issues. The event included more than 100 promotoras from around the state and was conducted actually all in Spanish and translated into English. So it was one of the first of its kind in terms of having a woman focus, but also primarily Spanish-focused event. So this year, we continue to provide this critical gender analysis of our healthcare reform proposals. We've kept it going with the op-eds, recognizing the importance of having that dialogue in the press. And so this year, we got one in the Sacramento Bee, which is our capital paper. We've also developed a listening tour. So we took a step back after 2007 and said, got a lot of great accomplishments, which I've just shared with you, but we're still missing some key voices, we feel like. Even though we have this broad-based coalition, there weren't as many younger women, there weren't as many women of color groups, there weren't as many women of disabilities, and those were supposedly our core constituencies. And so we really wanted to take a step back, go back deeper into communities and say, are we really recognizing what your needs are? How can we better partner with you to get this information out to your communities and then to have you partner with us and talk to legislators about these issues? And so we set up what we called listening tours. We've done our first two already, one in LA and one in the Bay Area. We'll be doing one in the Central Valley of the state shortly. And again, it's really to think about engaging new constituencies, having folks reflect back on what we've done thus far and really tell us whether we are truly encapsulating the needs of their own communities. We're also developing, and this is kind of where the work is, I think, going to focus from now, a leadership development curricula that's really going to be for women advocates of healthcare reform. So really kind of formalizing some of the trainings that we've done as part of all of our legislator education days so that women have a 10-week curricula where they learn about the issues at the local, at the state, and at the national level, since that's probably the next frontier of this conversation, and then work on some kind of action collectively, whether that be organizing their own legislator education day or a rally or going to speak to their city council member, something that they've developed based on the knowledge that they've gained. And we're looking for partners for that, so if folks are interested, talk to me after. We also convened a policy subcommittee to develop a policy agenda for the 2009 legislative cycle in the California State Legislature. We're probably going to continue to have some healthcare reform discussions, but we know that because stuff's probably also going to be brewing at the national level, that might shift. And so we're also trying to be really responsive to, if there's not a really vibrant healthcare reform debate, where do we take this coalition next? And it's really looking at what are the other important policy, healthcare policy issues important to women and girls that we should have an analysis of. And so that's really what we're looking at. So this last piece is really the crux of how we do all of this work and how we do this analysis. And these are the six principles that we offer up As women and girls, we really claim our universal right to affordable, accessible, high-quality health care that's fairly financed, efficiently administered, culturally and linguistically appropriate, and responsive to our expressed needs for comprehensive medical, social, and mental health services. So we believe that universal health care coverage is a critical building block of a socially and economically just society, that it will help to create a level playing field, not only for California, but for the U.S. and the global economy. And it will also, therefore, benefit women and girls across borders. We, therefore, advance these principles as a women's health platform for universal health care to help women and girls achieve healthy lives. And so we utilize them to analyze any reform proposal and advise policymakers on the responsiveness of the needs of women and girls. And so these principles are available on our website, but we've found them to be a really useful tool because we can really take any reform proposal, and we've recently done this with the Obama and McCain proposals, and do it side by side with our principles and really assess what will the direct impact be on women and girls. And I kind of gave you a preview, but I can tell you that the Obama plan does a lot more for women and girls than the McCain plan does. But we don't endorse candidates, so I will leave you just with that piece of information. Should you be interested in taking this back to your own community, some strengths and challenges with this work, and again, it's a 3-year effort, so we could also go on for longer than 15 or 20 minutes. It is a broad-based coalition, so we do have a diversity in the types of organizations at the table. We have a fairly large number, even for a state like ours. We are definitely now a recognized and established voice for women and girls on these issues, so we've actually been approached by many legislators who care about women and girls issues more generally to say, hey, Women Lead, can you come and advise me on what this CUEL bill looks like for us, or what the incremental bill at the state level looks like for us, and we were able to provide that analysis. We do have a track record of success, so we've held a whole series of successful events over the course of the last 3 years, from the annual events like the Women Lead for Health Legislator Education Day to our summits and now our listening tours. But some of the challenges, the competing agendas, so to have single-payer folks and incremental, or what some folks are now calling transitional, which is kind of a reference to the presidential reform proposals, has been a challenge. Folks want us to take positions on bills, and that's just not where we are as a coalition yet, although I have a feeling, as I mentioned earlier, that might be somewhere that we need to go. What it's done is it's allowed folks a space for dialogue that they might not otherwise have, and so and a space for folks who, kind of don't have a position. A lot of our smaller grassroots groups don't really have positions on these issues, so they're really able to come and learn about both sides, but that can also be a challenge. We are still missing some key constituencies. We have 3 really key targets that we've wanted to work with, so younger women, women of color, and women with disabilities. We have 1 or 2 groups from each of those constituencies, but it's by no means the number we can and should have, given being a state as large as we are. We also lack regional diversity, so we're based in the Bay Area. That's where all the convening organizations are based. Part of the reason why we've strategically done these convenings and these listening tours is to try to get more involvement from around the state. Some of it's just a function of geography, but it's something that we're trying to be more proactive about, so really making sure that we're not only targeting and representing different communities of women, but also regionally different communities. And then obviously the shifting debate. So we were formed as a state-based, a local-based coalition. All of our work has focused on state and local efforts. How do we now transition to the next frontier, which is likely going to be a national discussion finally around healthcare reform, or perhaps the culmination or start of that discussion? How do we shift our resources so that the women who we've been working with and our coalition partners can really have an impact on the national level, and who do we look to partner with to get that started? And so that's one of our upcoming challenges. So here's my contact information. As I said, I'm on the executive committee of Women Lead. Our website's womenleadforhealth.org. Don't be confused. We used to be called the Women's Working Group, but we just changed our name recently and have a new logo and stuff. But all the information I shared, our healthcare reform principles, an executive summary of all of our work, contact information for both myself and other members of the executive committee is on there. So thank you.
Thanks for sharing your progress on healthcare reform efforts using a gendered approach. So thanks for sharing that. Our next presentation is by Dana Cassiotti from Johns Hopkins. She is a third-year doctoral student in the Department of Health Behavior and Society. Hello.
I'm going to